It together. Pray now you'll teach us through it, Lord, and remind us of what's ahead and how blessed we are to be your children. But Lord, guide us now, and may you be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in verse 6, we looked at this last week when we were in chapter 12. Notice verse 10 of chapter 12. It says, I will pour out upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. So this is like we saw last week when Israel realizes that they pierced, that they crucified their Messiah. And we see here in verse 6, someone will ask the question, what about these wounds in thine hand? He said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. It was his very friends that crucified him, that led him to Calvary and shouted out, crucify him. If you go to Revelation 1:7, we'll see where this happens, where Israel realizes that they crucified their own Messiah. And as we see at the end of the prophecy, that's when Israel gets the new heart that was prophesied of in Ezekiel, and we'll say that the God of the Bible is their God. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. So, referring to the nation of Israel, which pierced him, and as we see here, he will respond, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So back to our passage, we see here that then we see the tribulation period prophesied about, especially the part about how many should die in the tribulation. And again, it's so amazing how this all fits together like a glove. But first, he gives us the prophecy about Calvary itself. When the shepherd is smitten, it says the sheep will be scattered. And this is a prophecy of what happened when the disciples scattered and fled after the Garden of Gethsemane. They didn't stick with Christ. They scattered and went and hid, if you will. Jesus even told him it would happen, didn't he? He said, you'll all be offended in me. And that's when Peter made his bold statement. Well, if everybody else be offended, I won't be offended. And we know what happened there. So this prophecy, of course, was perfectly fulfilled when Jesus Christ was taken from the garden. What did the disciples do but flee? And then in verse 8, some specifics about the tribulation itself. It says, it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left. And so this is what's going to happen during the tribulation. Two-thirds of the earth will die. Now we can go to Revelation and we'll see this pans out perfectly. Go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. And so even as early as 600 B.C., which is now over 2.5 millennium ago, God prophesied about something that hasn't even happened yet, and that is the tribulation period and how terrible it will be on the earth. Now, so notice Revelation 6:8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So we see that the pale horse leads to the death of one fourth of the world. Now, if you go over to Revelation 9 and verse 15, it says, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And then in Revelation 12:17, if you go there, we see that the Antichrist then makes war with Israel specifically, like we saw last week, Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman being Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we add all that together, and what he's telling us is two-thirds of the earth will die in the tribulation period, and a third part will go through the fire. And that's our prophecy here in Revelation chapter 13, verse 9. I will bring the third part through the fire. So what does he mean? We'll go to Matthew 24 and we'll see this. Matthew 24, verse 21. Notice he says, "For then shall be great tribulation." So remember, the tribulation is broken up into two halves. And the second half is referred to as the Great Tribulation. It's much worse than the first half. And that's because the Antichrist then turns his back on Israel. At first, it'll look like he's making peace with Israel. Then he will make war with Israel. And it says, "It was not since the beginning of the world." So it's going to be worse than it ever was as far as death and plagues. And he says, "Except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And so this day, this tribulation period, but specifically the half, the second half, Jesus said nothing like it ever in the history of mankind. It will be that bad. And if you go to Joel chapter 2, which we looked at 6-8 months ago, maybe a year ago, God defines this time as a very terrible time. Joel chapter 2 and verse 11. "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong and executeth his word, for the day of the Lord great and very terrible. Who can abide it?" Remember, the day of the Lord refers primarily to the tribulation period, culminating in the return of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom. And then go to Zephaniah 1 again, if you would, where we also were reminded how God describes this time. Zephaniah, not Zechariah, but Zephaniah chapter 1. Jonah, Hobadiah, Jonah, Micah, Zephaniah. It's in my Bible somewhere. Oh, there it is. So notice chapter 1, verse 14. "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly." And look at these words. "This is a day of," as Brad would like to say, "wrath and trouble and distress. A day of wasteness and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness." This is how God describes the Great Tribulation. Let's say after the rapture, there's 9 billion people on earth. Imagine 6 billion people dying in 7 years. That's a lot of people. You know, we talk about plagues and whatever, but imagine 6 billion people dying in 7 years. That's what's going to happen. So God says back in our passage, Zechariah 13:9, "I will bring the third part through the fire." He's specifically referring to his chosen nation, Israel. Notice he says, "And I will refine them." So this is the nation of Israel. Many will die. Many of the world will die. But some will survive this fire and get to the end, and then that's the ones who will say, "Where'd you get these prints of the nails in your hands?" And that they'll realize that's our Messiah, and they'll accept him as their Messiah. But this refining word, what? Think about that. What's going to happen in the tribulation? There's going to be wars, there's going to be famines, hail, this wormwood, which is the poisoned waters, the locust creatures from the pit. If you've ever looked at their description, they're horrible. Evil horsemen, the boils, the heat, the darkness, the rivers dried up. That's just a sampling of what's going to happen. So that's the refining that they will go through. And when all that's finished, when all that refining is finished and two-thirds of the earth and two-thirds of Israel has died, it says here in verse 9, "And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them." So it's a good picture of what happens in our trials, isn't it? They're for our refinement, like we talked this morning. And when we come out on the other side, we're better for it. And Israel will be better for it, if you will. So let's look at this, Isaiah 65 and verse 24, where God, again, talking about his chosen people, Israel, reminds us that at the end of the tribulation period, they will recognize who Jesus is. Isaiah 65, verse 24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, people often like to quote this verse as a great prayer promise, which is fine. But if you read the context, it's talking about Israel in the tribulation. And they will say, the Lord is my God. And God will say, these are my people. And if you go to Jeremiah 50, verse 4, we'll see this. The end of the tribulation, that Israel will have been through the fire, that the one-third that survive, and will come to the realization that Jesus Christ is God, that he is their Messiah. Notice Jeremiah 50, verse 4. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. Now, if you look in the book of Ezekiel, you'll see that fourth unconditional covenant, which was what? They'll be given a new heart. And that is described in Hebrews 8. So let's turn over there if we could. Hebrews chapter 8, which is quoting that fourth unconditional covenant from the Old Testament. And God will take this group that's been through the fire, and that's definitely the fire, isn't it? All these things that they're going to face in the tribulation. Notice Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. So again, it'll be after those days, at the end of the tribulation period. Saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is a supernatural thing that God will do. He will give Israel as a nation, if you will, a new heart. They will accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior, as their God. They will go into the kingdom, and their Messiah will rule and reign over them in their kingdom. The kingdom that they've been waiting for since the time of David, which is about 3,000 years ago. They will finally get their 1,000-year kingdom and their king that they've been waiting for, whom they missed the first time. They said, are you a king? And Jesus said, for that cause I was born. Jesus is the King of Kings. Amen. But this time they'll recognize Jesus as their king, and they will follow him as their king. And you and I will be there, hallelujah, with the Jews. We got grafted in. Praise the Lord for that. But God will bring this third part that survives the tribulation, as we see, through the fire. It's a refining process. And, of course, don't forget the 144,000 Jews that will be preaching during this time. These 12,000 from each tribe, which will be the result of many multitudes. The Bible says it can't be numbered getting saved during the tribulation period. Some of them will be Jews, at least a third of the original Israel at the beginning of the tribulation will survive, be taken through the fire, and then they will look upon him whom they have pierced, as we saw. Let's turn there again, and we'll close in Zechariah 12, where we finished last week. And they will realize it's Jesus, where we saw last week, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be great mourning in Jerusalem. So, why so much mourning? Well, they've been through the fire, and they've come to the realization that we crucified our Messiah. But thank the Lord, he was crucified for us. Hallelujah. So one third of the part through the fire. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this beautiful prophecy and reminder that for this earth, things are only going to get worse, but also for us, you've not appointed us to wrath, and that we get to escape it through the rapture. And for that, we can only but thank and praise you. Lord, as we look at what you're going to do for Israel, may we continue to remember them and pray for them, pray for their salvation, knowing that one day we will be ruling and reigning alongside them in the kingdom. So thank you for this beautiful truth and reminder, and we love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.